Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
104.5 The Zone, Nashville's home for the NFL. Sunday Night Football, Patriots and Packers. Sunday night at 6:30 on 104.5 The Zone.
Day 180 served up by Wendy's. John McClain is with us. Time to talk some NFL Week 9 headlines, preview some games around the league, some good games on the docket this week. Titans and Cowboys on Monday Night Football and much more. Phone lines available for you. 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045. McClain is with us every Tuesday and Friday. Friday's always a hit because we can preview the games on Sunday.
And there's a bunch of big games coming up this weekend, and we can react to that game last night where Oakland didn't look so good. We can also talk about any storyline across the league right now with John McClain. 615-737-1045, 737-1045. We talked to John on Tuesday. This is your chance to talk some football with John McClain right now at 737-1045.
John, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How are y'all?
Great. How long did you stick with that Thursday night football game last night?
Oh, I didn't stick very long. I knew it was going to be a bad game. Watching, what's the new quarterback's name?
Mullins.
I forgot. Watching Mullins throw touchdown passes on the first two series to wide open receivers that were not covered. I mean, he had guys wide open. He was accurate. It was an exciting game for the 49ers. Testimonial to Kyle Shanahan and his staff for getting Nick Mullins ready to play. And also, it showed the Raiders have already quit on John Gruden.
It's pretty quick. But pretty quick work for a guy with a big resume and a big name.
John, hasn't the organization also quit on the players?
Well, Gruden has. He's not the organization has it.
Well, they traded these guys. They traded away Khalil Mack. They traded Amari Cooper.
That was John Gruden. That wasn't Reggie McKenzie, so no. I'll guarantee you Reggie McKenzie, he drafted those guys. He didn't want to trade them. Gruden traded them. So when we say the organization, if you're saying that's Gruden, yeah, but
okay.
I'll guarantee you others in that organization didn't want to make these deals.
Is this an obvious example of tanking?
I don't know if – no, tanking is when you are – doing things strategically to lose. In their case, they just quit. And I don't think it had anything to do with strategy. I think it had to do with the fact that they quit. Derek Carr, my goodness, he was annihilated by terrible pass blocking for a team, another bad team. So, no, I don't think they're tanking.
Well, if you get rid of Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, your best player on defense and offense, if not tanking, what are they doing with that? Trying to
acquire
more draft picks.
They're building for the future for Las Vegas.
So they're tanking for Las Vegas.
And they also, tanking is when you strategically, like if they bench Carr and played some guy like Mullins.
Not playing their best players.
Maybe they're close to that. A.J. McCarron.
They also, those guys are not playing hard. I've seen teams like the 49ers are terrible. They got beat by Arizona. And their guys played hard. So I've seen bad teams that played really hard for their coaches. These guys are not playing hard for Gruden. And Gruden's fighting with his coaches on his staff. Those are his handpicked guys. So the Raiders are a disaster.
Well, and I'm kind of reading between the lines here, John, but you said, you know, Reggie McKenzie had nothing to do with the trades and getting rid of those guys. It sounds to me like John Gruden is this organization at this point, if that's the case. He's basically doing everything and making every decision.
He makes every decision.
John McClain with us. You can join him, 615-737-1045, our number. John, more ridiculous, the comments made by Hugh Jackson this week in the media, or Greg Williams at the podium when he was named interim coach, saying he was contacted by 11 teams?
Well, what about Gruden saying all players want to come play for the Raiders even after the game, which is tampering, of course. But what? Now, maybe he's talking about players from the American Alliance of Football.
Maybe, yeah.
Or maybe the guys that are going to be relegated to the XFL. But he's not talking about NFL players unless they're out of work. What Greg Williams said has got to be the most preposterous thing I've ever heard. Number one, if it was true, you wouldn't say it. But number two, there's nobody in the world who would believe 11 teams contacted Greg about being a head coach. And didn't he say four offered him jobs and all he had to do was sign the contract?
That's what he said. Just sign it.
I'll tell you what, it doesn't say much about Greg that he didn't think any of them were the right fit.
What happened to this guy? You knew him when he's a normal guy. I knew him when he's a normal guy. I mean, he's an egomaniacal kook.
I've known Greg since 1990. I was, I do a Friday mailbag about the Texans that's online. And I do it on Thursday night. And one of the questions was, what was your biggest moment at Denver? And what was easy, it was a 91 divisional playoff game, in which the Oilers led right up until the end, and Elway took the Broncos from the two-yard line in the last 2 minutes to a winning field goal. And Greg was quality control coach in his second season, who had an office that was in the closet. But I don't know. The Greg Williams I saw in Hard Knocks, while funny, is not the Greg Williams I used to know.
Me neither.
Paul, give John your prediction on Greg Williams.
Well, I think he'll give his kid a bunch of power, if he hasn't already, who by all accounts isn't really qualified for it, and acts like his dad without his dad's resume, which his dad thinks is bigger and includes several Super Bowls, apparently. And I'm not sure he'll be in the league next year after he gets in front of the podium and does a bunch of stuff this year. I think coordinators who are super out front and noisy and boisterous, who turn into interim coaches who act like I presume he's going to act after this first week, aren't going to be hot commodities.
Well, he's going to have a lot of questions from the Cleveland media that he won't like. And I think I was told last year they were asking him a technical question, and finally he said, how many games have you coached in the NFL? Well, my response to that would be what I told an Oilers player one time who was chewing me out about something I wrote. He said, you've never played the game. And I said, well, I'm not a skunk either, but I can tell when something stinks. And that kind of confused him, and then he kind of shook his head like he understood. And that would have been my response. Just like if Matt Patricia had told me I was slouching in the sit-up, I would have said, Coach, I went to the doctor this morning. I'm going to have back surgery. I'm sorry. Even if it wasn't true, just to make him look like an idiot.
John, do you think Todd Haley works again as an offensive coordinator in the NFL?
I believe, Chad, there's always somebody out there who will give a good coach a chance. And Haley's a good coach. His problem is his personality. If you're producing, remember he produced after a rocky start with Roethlisberger, he produced, and then it stopped. And so I think somebody, a strong head coach, will give him a chance. He can go back to being a position coach, because when you've been fighting with your head coach over running an offense, that means a lot. Not a lot of head coaches are going to take a chance on you, but I think somebody out there will give him a chance.
Hugh Jackson says that his firing was premature, which is just laughable. When you consider that reports were he's going behind the back, or I believe he admitted to this, going behind the back of Haley and going to Dorsey to try to get more power from the offensive coordinator. And this is also a head coach, according to reports, did not know who the Browns were going to select on draft night until 2 days prior to the draft, And then all of a sudden, Josina Anderson had a report that the Browns are going to select Baker Mayfield. What a coincidence.
Well, first of all, they all denied that that was true. That was an anonymous quote from somebody. And I can't imagine a situation like that where they wouldn't tell the head coach because he is tight with Jimmy Haslam. Now, the problem is Dorsey is the offense, and Hugh Jackson didn't want to. And somebody like Dorsey, who makes him hire Haley knows that the head coach is powerless since he was hired by the GM.
Right.
So Jackson goes to Haslam. It is such a recipe for disaster, and I believe they should leave Dorsey alone, let him hire whoever he wants. That's what they're paying him for, and see if they can right the sinking ship, because they do have talent. They do have multiple draft choices, and John Dorsey seems to know what he's talking about. But, you know, you put guys like Todd Haley and Greg Williams, strong personalities, on the same team, you know, you're asking for trouble. And I tell you, that Kitchens guy, what a great sense of humor. He's walking away from his interview, being promoted to offensive coordinator, and Greg Williams admitted he had nothing to do with it. I thought that was hilarious. They said, did you elevate? No, I didn't have anything to do with it.
It was
so
done.
Here's Kitchens getting promoted by the general manager. So he knows he doesn't have to take orders from Greg. Greg really is just a defensive coordinator, and Kitchens is the offensive coordinator. And as Kitchens walked away from that news conference, well, I want you guys to know I have not been offered a head coaching job, which maybe he and Greg are good friends and he can do that. But if they're not, you know Greg didn't like that.
High school football Fridays, college football Saturdays, NFL football Sundays, and free money Monday through Friday. We are your football and free money station. Your shot at $1,000 four times every weekday at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. All you have to do is text the national keyword to win. Don't text and drive, but do text to win. Rules and details at 1045thezone.com. 4K a day on 1045 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. John McClain is with us. We're previewing week 9 across the NFL. Titans and Cowboys coming up on Monday Night Football. John, let's start with Sunday Night Football in our preview of the week. Patriots hosting the Packers. The Packers are 3-3-1. Patriots are 6-2, but we're all watching because of the quarterback battle here. Brady and Rodgers, and I can't wait to sit down and watch this at the hotel on Sunday night.
Barring a Super Bowl, it's the last time they'll play. Can't imagine Brady playing another 4 years. Maybe he will play in Rodgers when he's 46. So we should just sit back and enjoy it. I can't wait to get back from Mile High Stadium to my hotel so I can watch it. You don't find two games, not just with two better quarterbacks, but who've won, five MVP awards. Both of them have won Super Bowls. It just doesn't get any better than that.
John, I'm going to give you a game I think will be better and is a bigger game this Sunday. Rams at Saints. That's a big ball game right there. I look forward to watching that one. What do you think about those two?
If the Saints, the Saints lost their first game. They've won all of them.
Yep.
Los Angeles Times called me this week, wanted to know I would vote MVP, and I said Drew Brees because I know they were thinking Todd Gurley. Brees has been brilliant, and I think the Rams have more talent. And so so I took Brees. If the Rams are in the second leg of a brutal part of their schedule, and they've been playing some close games. They could have lost that game last week if Montgomery hadn't come out of the end zone. But I picked the Saints because they're at home. Had it been in L.A., I would have picked the Rams, but you're right. That is a better game, Chad. It means more because if New Orleans wins, it has the tiebreaker over the best team in the NFC.
And how about the Saints winning over the Vikings last week, despite Brees throwing for just 120 yards? They can win in a variety of ways.
they have won at Baltimore when the Ravens were at the top of their defensive game, and now they win that game over Mike Zimmer. I picked the Vikings to win. I think a lot of people did. And the Saints' defense is good. They've got great running game, of course. Alvin Kamara is maybe the best balanced running back in the league, and they're going to be really, really hard to beat.
Paul, Todd Gurley, while we're talking Rams, Saints, Todd Gurley has more touchdowns this season than the Titans and the Bills' offenses combined.
That's hurtful talk. It's hurtful talk. Truth hurts. And it's just really unfathomable that there's this offensive outburst around the league. And that, you know, it's not unfathomable that the Bills aren't part of it. It's unfathomable that the Titans aren't.
John, the Panthers at 5-2 hosting the Buccaneers, and I just get the sense that Tampa Bay's defense will have their hands full trying to not just stop Cam Newton, but trying to stop Christian McCaffrey in this game. If they can stop Christian McCaffrey, they have a chance at winning this game because Newton will be throwing on third and long, but I don't see that happening.
The unsung hero of the Panthers' 5-2 start is Norv Turner. Norv Turner went out there. He did not play coach last year. He's done a tremendous job with Cam Newton. Nobody's given him any attention, but I think he has done a tremendous job.
And now Fitzpatrick, with a nice performance, you just be the starter for the rest of the season. It's not like they want to turn things back over to Winston.
Now, do we think, and we know because we've seen Fitzpatrick have some awful games, if he has another bad one, will they go back to Winston? What is it going to take? Two bad ones in a row? I'll bet you we see Jameis Winston again.
I'd love it if we finally got to a point where we won't see Jameis Winston again.
Let me ask you guys a question. Are Winston and Mariota, how is John Robinson going to handle Mariota's contract after this season? And does it depend on what happens the rest of the season?
Well, I've got to think if he doesn't light it up the rest of the season, that they'd just play into the option year and get another 16 games of finding out.
Do you think the Bucs are going to get rid of Winston?
I do, but I mean, I think it depends a lot on if they keep their GM and their coach.
John, you bring up a great point because in this day and age, if you have a quarterback and you know about that quarterback, you do not let him play out a season in a contract year. You sign him to an extension in the offseason prior to the option year.
Well, they won't know about him.
But, I mean, teams, even if you're on the fence, they're still doing that. Derek Carr is a great example of that.
I don't see why, if you're on the fence about Mariota, you'd force the deal. Teams force the deal too.
Yeah.
They sign quarterbacks to wishful deals. I wouldn't. I mean, you can not sign him, and then if you can't reach agreement during or after the season, you can franchise him if he turns out to be the guy that you want. Don't handcuff yourself to a deal.
I was listening this week to NFL radio, and a nationally prominent media person who used to play quarterback, I'm not going to say who it is, actually said, well, if they want to get rid of Winston, you know, they could trade him for 2-1s or a 1-2.
What?
And I'm thinking that is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. There's no way anybody would give him that for Jameis Winston.
John, Ravens hosting the Steelers. Ravens are at 4-4 on the year. The Steelers are 4-2-1. And what's interesting is Baltimore, was it 4 or 5 weeks ago, they shut out Pittsburgh in the second half and went on to win that game at Heinz Field. But since then, I get the feeling Pittsburgh has found themselves a bit. You know, Antonio Brown, they've got a run game now with James Conner. How does the second matchup go this year between these two AFC North teams?
I cannot imagine the Ravens are going to sweep the Steelers, but the Steelers have lost 4 out of 5 there. Roethlisberger has played terrible there. Because of that, I picked the Ravens to win, but I believe if Pittsburgh wins, because I'm not a believer in Cincinnati, which barely beat Tampa last Sunday after Fitzy came off the bench, But I just can't imagine the Ravens sweeping the Steelers because I'm not buying into the Ravens, but I still pick the Ravens.
Jacksonville and Indy are on the bye. Houston is at Denver at 3 o'clock Central Time. That will be at Mile High. John, you mentioned you're headed to Denver for this game. Texans at 5-3. We know how they started, and we know how hot they've been recently. Do they go on the road and win after the trade this week?
They traded for Demaryius Thomas. He's going to be honored at that game. He'll start for the Texans. They had to make a deal. Giving up a 4 was a no big deal because they've got 2 2s and they're flush with cap money. But I picked the Broncos because I don't think their offensive tackles can handle Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. And even though Case Keenum has 10 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, I know how competitive he is and how much he wants to beat his former team in his first appearance. So I picked the Broncos by 3.
John, the Cowboys are adding Gil Brandt to their Ring of Honor on Monday night. Do you have a good Gil Brandt story for us? I know you go a ways back with him.
I haven't known Gil since 59. That's when he joined the Cowboys. He was a baby photographer who loved football. And he's the one that invented computer scouting and has done a tremendous job through the year. I don't have one particular story, but I've told you guys this, how every summer I go up to friends' house between Dallas and Fort Worth, and they let me invite some friends over. C.O. Bucato, Gil Brandt, and June Jones came until C.O. died, and June went to Hawaii. Now June is Hamilton Tiger Cats, the CFL, but Gil has come all but 1 year. And I've had Mike Renfro and other former players, and listening to Gil tell stories, especially when CO was there, listening to those two tell stories about going back decades, it's one of the few times I keep my big mouth shut and always will. And it's funny, they're honoring him in the Ring of Honor, and they're going to say he's in the Hall of Fame, but he's not. It's going to be a formality. To me, they should have waited another year. I'll tell you a good Gil Brandt story I just thought of. Gil has a home, I think, in Montana. And he was supposed to do his radio show, as he does every day. And he had a wreck and went down a ditch, and they got him and wanted to take him to the hospital. And he said, nope, he'd get home and do his radio show. And he did, and nobody knew a thing about the wreck.
Dr. Z was one of the more intimidating guys I ever met. I tried to butter him up a little bit by talking Columbia football. He played at Stanford and Columbia. I only had moderate success, and the thing I remember about him the most was being intimidated the one time I crossed paths with him. What's your biggest memory about Paul Zimmerman, who died, the longtime football writer for Sports Illustrated?
Intimidating is exactly right. It's like he was a veteran that had to haze rookies. Mike Silver has a thing on NFL.com about the first time he was around him and how Zimmerman treated him. And told him just to shut up. He didn't have enough experience to talk when they were at dinner. And he talked about how intimidated he was. I remember one time at the Hall of Fame, and Paul was probably about early 70s. Bob Oates from the L.A. Times was like 90. And Bob was still on the committee. And Bob stood up to promote somebody. And he started talking. And Paul goes, Oates, that's not true. You don't even have your facts right. He gets Bob Oates so discombobulated, he loses his place on his notes. And to me, that was Paul Zimmerman. One time when the Super Bowl was coming here in 04, the year before, I had the head of the Super Bowl here come to the Pro Football Writers meeting and see what the writers wanted when they came to Houston. And Paul was really rude to the guy. And I went up to him afterward. I said, what the hell are you doing? The guy's in here as a courtesy trying to see what guys like you want. And he thought about it, and then he went back and apologized to the guy. And I'm not saying he was all bark and no bite, but he did have a soft side. It was he's the greatest pro football writer in history. I mean, he just, you know, because he played at Stanford and Columbia, wrote a great book that's still good today, The Thinking Man's Guide to Pro Football. There'd never be another writer or character like Paul Zimmerman, Dr. Z.
John McClain with us. John, real quick, just quick prediction. Dallas and Tennessee on Monday night.
Dallas, is, I think, is unbeaten at home. They destroyed Jacksonville, put 40 on them. I picked the Cowboys to win it, I think, like 24-20.
Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Denver.
Guys, thank you very much. Enjoy your game, too. I'll be watching that as well. Great weekend for football. Thank you. Yep.